So, good morning, everyone. By way of a more formal beginning to this month of practice together, I wanted to offer a kind of ritual or ceremony in honoring the people of these lands and honoring the people of this lineage and honoring our people, our historical chosen and biological families of origin. And I find these three honorings can have a kind of unsettling effect. And I'm going to spend some time. So stay in your body and really allow, if there is discomfort that comes, allow the discomfort. Sometimes ritual and ceremony can do this, and in some ways I think it's a good kind of discomfort. And I also think this kind of honoring has a subversive effect in terms of our illusory sense of separation. That the interbeing and the connection and the kind of deep relational practice that we're in really knows that each moment carries the legacy of the past. And so this moment is not separate, doesn't exist in a void. It's carrying all of the many other moments that led up to it, to this one. And by way of honoring that which has come before and perhaps that which will come to be, while it might feel at odds with our usual sense of things, it also can really ground us. It's a kind of reckoning, a deep truth about what's happening here. And so just beginning first by feeling your body, feeling the breath in your body, and perhaps feeling the sense of being a human being and all the complexities of this, perhaps the many identities that we carry. The identities that are seen and the ones that maybe have been invisible or exiled. The ones that feel public and the ones that feel private. And can we have this sense in our practice, in our embodiment here, just this sense of welcoming them home, all of these parts of ourselves. These identities that we know are kind of like a dream. They're not so really real, but they are worthy of inviting, of settling in with, of acknowledging and honoring. And just as I named last night, can we have this sense of loving ourselves back into wholeness? And perhaps by welcoming and acknowledging all the many parts of ourselves, we're also offering dignity to this being here and perhaps all of the ancestors. And so we begin the first honoring by recognizing that the land we're on is the historical territory of the Nipmuc, Wampanoag, Mohican, and Mashpee people. That they have stewarded this land through generations and they are still here. And as we take this time to name them, we acknowledge that it's through their strength and resiliency in stewarding this land, protecting this land, and that it's our intention to honor, to take responsibility for our history, and perhaps set these aspirations for collaborative, accountable, continuous, and respectful relationships with these communities and these ways of life. This wonderful Métis woman, Chelsea Vowell from the Plains Cree community in Alberta, she says, if we think of territorial acknowledgement as sites of potential disruptions, they can be transformative acts that to some extent undo Indigenous erasure. I believe that this is true as long as these acknowledgments discomfit both those speaking and hearing the words. The fact of Indigenous presence should force non-Indigenous peoples to confront their own place on these lands. So I was born in the land of the Lakgawa people in southern Oregon in Ashland. And I remember growing up, my mom had a storybook that she would read to me bedtime. Beautiful illustrations, and the words in the book were actually the words of Chief Seattle. And this was a letter that Chief Seattle wrote on behalf of his Duwamish people to President Franklin Pierce. And so he wrote these words in 1855. He says, "You must teach your children that the ground beneath their feet is the ashes of their grandparents, in order that they may respect the earth. Teach them that the earth is full of the life of our ancestors. You must teach your children what we have taught ours, that this earth is our mother. Everything that affects the earth affects the people of the earth. We know this. All things are bound up in each other, like the blood that binds family." And so just feeling into the earth beneath your body, which is also made of earth. This small earth body sitting on a very big earth body. And that, of course, we can't undo the deeds of history, but how is it to set this kind of goodness in motion with your practice and acknowledging and honoring and the sense of arriving with respect and humility in this place of practice. And now similarly, staying in your body and your breath, we turn to the second honoring of honoring our lineage ancestors. Paying homage to the ancestral Asian roots of this spiritual practice, which has been benefiting humanity for more than 2,600 years. And so we acknowledge that for many years we in the West, we've been remiss in not highlighting our deep respect towards our Asian ancestors. Sometimes it can feel like these mindfulness practices just dropped out from nowhere. And we forget this sense of lineage, of being part of this stream. And Zen, they say, it's passing the Dharma from warm hand to warm hand. And so we bow to these faithful caretakers of the Dhamma that over many geographies and cultures, these practices have been protected and fully realized so that we may also sit here together and walk this path of goodness. And so tracing history all the way back to the source, this Gautama Buddha, probably the Dhamma was happening before this particular Buddha that we know, but recalling the life of Siddhartha, this prince in ancient India who practiced under the Bodhi tree and attained the sure heart's release. And then it's said his first Dharma talk set the wheel of Dhamma in motion that has been turning ever since. So for 45 years, he turned this wheel, spread the Dhamma far and wide, and said that he offered the teachings of liberation to humans, celestial beings, recluses, and Brahmins. Freely offered to all who would listen. And because of this compassion and generosity, the Dhamma spread all the way through. It's like a stream, a spring, a source of water high in the mountains that was poured in rivers down into lakes and became even bigger rivers and lakes and pools and streams, this river of Dhamma, spreading all the way through from India to China, Tibet, Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, Myanmar, Laos, Bhutan, Nepal. Crossing oceans, it reached Japan, Korea, Sri Lanka, Malaysia, and Taiwan. And all of these Asian countries and cultures protected, sustained these core teachings. Eventually the teachings reached Europe, Africa, Central and South America, Mexico, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and the U.S. And perhaps feeling this sense of standing in lineage, the receiving and offering that we touched on last night, the sense of being part of something much bigger and the beauty of this practice that is so alive across the mountains and rivers and also all through this body. And perhaps paying homage to those that came before. Maybe there's a sense of gratitude and appreciation for all of our teachers, these beautiful ancestors who realized this path. There's a saying in the suttas, what's done, what was to be done is done. It's done, it's accomplished. And can we feel the sense of joy and celebration in how our practice is continuing the turning of the Dhamma? We're doing what there is to be done. And then lastly, paying homage to our particular family ancestors. We might know some of their stories, probably many, many we don't know. And sometimes reflecting on our family of origin can bring a sense of guilt or feeling ill at ease. But even so, we remember all of the humanity. In fact, their lives and energy brought us here today. So many ancestors. I have so 23andMe. I have one of these genetic accounts, and I looked, and there's like thousands of relatives in my account, even just like fifth cousin or sixth cousin. So many people that are somehow connected genetically to this stream of being. And so we can reflect, there's so many. We know our personal ancestors, maybe. Maybe we choose to reflect more on a family of origin, a chosen family. Not feeling this sense of the bones and muscles and blood that we inhabit here in this body is given. Given through so many other human bodies. And that whether we agree with their stories or we don't even know them, that they offered this life so we can be here now practicing. And can there be a sense of homage, of honor, and perhaps just a small thank you. Thank you for this human body, this precious birth, a vehicle for my awakening. And perhaps a sense of uprightness, like I want to make this time meaningful. Because of all of these connections, all of the gifts we've received to be here. And so in honoring our families, we honor our complexity and also the responsibility we have in making this life meaningful, paying it backwards through time and space, knowing the healing we do here can heal across generations historically, and also perhaps paying it forward to those who are to come. And so to our ancestors, we send them gratitude and appreciation, sending love back along our ancestral lines and honoring their strengths, forgiving their weaknesses, and carrying forth the spark of life which has been given. And again, maybe resting now back into this body and this breath and feeling how it is to have this deep sense of connection through earth ancestors, through lineage ancestors, and through biological ancestors, chosen family. In some ways, these three honorings is offering our place in the family of things. In the sense that our practice matters. And perhaps we can also receive these gifts and offer back our good intentions, all of the goodness of this practice we offer. Through our efforts here, may these virtues of goodness and strength, of truth and love, may they be offered freely so all beings everywhere receive the benefits of our goodness here.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.